Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike to tell you along with Cullen Steele in studio at 540. Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature. And certainly the news that broke about a half hour ago, Nick Underhill from New Orleans.football broke it that the Saints have signed former LSU running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's going to go on the practice squad right off the bat. They did release Kendall Vickers to make room for him. And boy, I go back a ways with Clyde because I watched him at Catholic High in Baton Rouge. He was tremendous running back there. Goes to LSU, and he was such an integral part of that national championship team back in 2019. And you think about that team that had Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, Terrence Marshall Jr., Racy McMath, Thaddeus Moss, who was a really good college tight end. And I remember a couple of days after the national championship game talking to Joe Brady, and he was, hey, we wouldn't have got here without Clyde. His running skills were so good. He was also a terrific receiver coming out the backfield. Joe Brady loved him because he could pick up the blitz. He was smart. He knew when they were coming with that inside blitz, and he'd sort of wheelbarrow you because he's all of 5'7". And I was talking to Steve Geller about it. We used to have Coach O on when he was at LSU weekly, and we talked to him about Clyde. Hey, he's tough. He's only 5'7", but he plays like he's 7'1". And that's about right. Clyde was just a terrific player at LSU. Ends up being the last pick in round one by the Kansas City Chiefs in the 2020 draft. It just never worked for him at Kansas City. He fought injuries. It didn't. I thought it was a great fit for him. And I think even Andy Reid thought that was a perfect fit. It never did work out for him with the Chiefs. I know we have a number of the Kansas City Chiefs assistant coaches come to Louisiana Line Camp every year. And they said the biggest advocate for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it was Andy. Andy said, hey, I want him back. I think he can really help us. But it got to the point where maybe, you know, he had come to the end of the road and he was released. And so the Saints have come to terms with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And somebody texted me, biggest moment you remember with Clyde, Alabama game. In that game, he rushes for over 100 yards. He scores 3 touchdowns. I think he caught 9 passes coming out of the backfield. But it was late in the game, and they needed that first down to seal the deal. and it was Clyde. Man, he got it on the ground for him, was able to get that first down and seal the deal for LSU and beating Alabama in their own backyard, so to speak. And so biggest memory for me is Clyde. And to meet him, you say, man, look at this guy. He's a little bitty guy from a height standpoint. He's 5'7 1/4". That's what he actually measured out at the NFL Combine. But he's yoked because he's like 212 or 214 pounds. Great to see Clyde back in Louisiana. Hope everything works out for him. That also tells you a little bit about the fact that we're probably not going to see Alvin Kamara anytime soon. That you went out and, and you're bringing in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And so I think he's a nice fit because he can run what they run offensively in that scheme. He can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. He was really good picking up those interior blitzes. And Joe Burrow would talk about it all the time, about how good he was, that sometimes he was supposed to be out running a pattern, but at the corner of his eye, he'd see somebody blitzing inside, and he'd pick him up, wheelbarrow him, and Joe had enough time to hit either Chase or Jefferson or Moss or Marshall, any one of those guys downfield. So Saints have added Clyde Edwards-Helaire to the roster, release Kendall Vickers to make room for him on the practice squad. And, man, he was one hell of a player for the Tigers. And Joe Brady making that comment, we could not have done this without Clyde.
So with Clyde coming in and you're expecting Kamara to take a backseat, who – it's a T-ball of a question – who's got to start showing up in our running back room?
Oh, it's Kendra Miller.
You laugh at, yeah.
It's got to be him.
It's got to be.
It's his opportunity.
This is his time.
Cullen, that he has got to be able to show up big.
Huge.
I get the potential. And
he's
I saw
good.
Him, how good he looked at TCU.
He's looked good in the last couple weeks.
And he's flashed it with the Saints. He's going to get a lot more touches.
Which is
Monday
good.
Night against the Packers. He's going to get
him.
A bunch of touches.
I want to see a lot more of him. I really do.
Because he runs, he's really a power runner that turns power into speed.
Yeah.
And that's what he did at TCU. Yeah, he was able to turn power into speed. He was a big part of TCU's run that year to try to get to, they got to the national championship game. He wasn't a part of that because he got hurt the game before. Man, he's got talent. No one's ever questioned his talent as a football player. It's availability. Now he's got to show he can hold up the grind of the NFL, use the third-round pick on him. There was a couple guys there that have made it pretty good in the NFL, Tajay Spears being one of them, former Tulane guy. And then the A-chain, well, he changed it now, it's A-chan, so with the Dolphins, It's a great opportunity for Kendra Miller to step up and show that he can play at this level and that he can stay healthy. He's also a guy that can catch the ball real well coming out of the backfield. You know, that I understand what happened with him and Dennis Allen. I think Dennis Allen thought he should have come in better shape, and he had a bunch of injuries, could not stay healthy in that sport of time. And now he's healthy. He's given an opportunity. The door's open. And my thing is, a lot of times you don't get these chances. A lot. You got to take advantage of those opportunities when they're given to you. He's got that chance now to be your top back and your workhorse guy for the next couple weeks. Because, again, we didn't get any report today because it being a Monday night game, everything sort of slanted back. We'll get our first injury report tomorrow officially from the Saints. But, again, the news, Clyde Edwards-Helaire signing on to the Saints practice squad. Also, in some college football news, Ricky Collins, former LSU quarterback who got in the transfer portal, he has committed to Syracuse. And last night it broke. The big man from Oklahoma, Nick Anderson, commits to LSU, and he's one of three receivers they've signed. He was a freshman phenom with the Sooners. He fought injuries last year, played just a couple games, but he's a guy that's a game changer. because of his size and his foot speed. And we'll talk a lot more about LSU at 4:40 with Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com. We come back, we'll have on with us Nick Friedel, our Odyssey Sports NBA insider, talking Pelicans NBA right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with Cullen Steele in studio. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, and on the line is our Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedel. If you're a fan of the NBA, make sure you check out the variety of NBA Odyssey podcasts wherever you get your content. Nick, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Mike, it's always good to hear your voice. I wish the Pelicans were better for everybody down there in New Orleans.
Me too.
But it is what it is right now.
Yes, sir.
It seems to have been for a while.
Nick, from what you're getting, and, you know, there's certainly a lot of rumors out there about possible trades. And my thing about trades is I'm all for it if I can get better. And I want value. I'm not going to give you anybody away. And I think at this stage, maybe I think there are some teams that have interest in some of the players with the Pelicans, but they don't want to pay you what really they should pay you for that guy.
Mike, it is the age-old problem in the NBA, and I have lived this for about two decades now, and that's why I always remind people it's so difficult to actually make a trade, because so often, and I lived this for a lot of years in Chicago covering the Bulls wanted to hang on to the assets that they had, and they said, okay, we'll make a deal, but you better make sure that you make it worth our while. That just never really seemed to happen. And the amount of rumors you hear and the speculation for what actually amounts to any of it is never really there. Now, having said that, with the Pelicans, I mean, this is a team that frankly just isn't going anywhere right now. They've got all kinds of questions. What happens with Ingram? Is Zion ever going to be close to, at this point, the guy that everybody hoped he would be? I mean, we could go on, but Mike, I would always, always lean on the side of, I'll be surprised if and when anything really does happen, because in order, especially for these kind of trades to go down that the Pelicans would have to make, you got to make the deal or deals and say, okay, it's time to reset again. And I don't know how much of an appetite that is, not only for the fan base down there, but the front office people, David Griffin, the people that are involved day to day. I don't know if, even if you want to make the deal, if it makes sense, given what you're probably going to get back.
It's not all his issues, but do you think Willie Green survives till February 1st?
The short answer is probably not.
That's my thought, too. That's my thought, also.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, as well-liked as Willie is in various points of the league, if you're having these kind of struggles and you start to feel that pressure, not only from the media and frustrated fans and ownership, when that starts to pop out there, and you see the stories that appear that say, all right, which coaches are on the hot seat? Knowing what we've seen in the league over time, with the way the Pelicans are going, unless they turn it around, I'd be surprised if it keeps going for another few months. But, hey, you never know exactly how it's all going to shake out. But if you were wondering which direction it usually goes, Mike, it's either going to happen in the next few months or maybe after the year, but I'd be surprised unless there is a major, major turnaround there.
Tomorrow night they play the Houston Rockets. Give everybody a little bit of a scouting report on the Rockets. And that's a team that's kind of in transition to a certain extent. And your thoughts on the Rockets as they play the Pelicans tomorrow night?
Well, I think more than focusing on the young talent that is there, and it's certainly getting to a point where it's coming together and you view the Rockets as a team on the rise. Mike,
yeah.
When you talk about Houston, to me, it all goes back to Ime Udoka. And we know the success that he had in Boston. We know the issues that he had off the floor that led to the reason why he's still not in Boston. I can tell you, having been around that Nets team, there were plenty of people that thought he was going to go coach in Brooklyn. And then that didn't happen. The fact that he landed in Houston is a reminder, and it's a nice juxtaposition given that we were just talking about Willie Green, how much of a culture changer a coach can be when you get the right talent around him. So as I watch the Rockets and I see some of the success they started to have last year and are having again now in spots, I go back to that hire and I think, okay, here is another big reminder for the league that if you've got a team that hasn't really been doing anything for a while and you put the right coach in place and that coach has the ability to mold a younger group and get them to buy into the defensive principles night after night. When I look at the Rockets, I go, okay, they've got the right guy in charge and everything else will shake out for them over time if they keep adding to that talent base.
Is there a team, and I know it's early in the NBA season, there a team that really has surprised you so far in the NBA of how they've come out the gates? Because, man, we saw Cleveland make that run early where they ran a hot streak before that got ended. But is there a team in the NBA you say, wow, I didn't think they'd be that good? And is there a team that you say, wow, man, I didn't think they would be this bad? Other than the Pelicans.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, that would be pretty easy for me, sadly. but the easy answer would be, as far as who looks good, it would have been Cleveland, but I'll give you another one because it really has surprised me. The fact that the Orlando Magic, without Paolo Banchero, have been able to weather the storm for the time being. I know Wagner is now out, and we'll see how that goes. But the fact that that team just kept racking up wins without Banchero, who is one of the best young players in the game, that really, really surprised me because I thought when he went down, as good as Franz Wagner is, and with that new contract and the pressure that I'm sure he feels, I didn't think they had enough. I didn't think that team was going to go out there night after night and do what they had been able to do to that point. Now, as far as teams that maybe have surprised me the other direction, I mean, of course, the Pelicans are right up at the front there, and it's why the talk about Willie Green is only going to intensify it if they keep losing games. But I'll tell you a team that I actually saw in person a couple weeks ago, and as you said, it's early. But the Nuggets and the step back that it appears that Jamal Murray has taken, man, that would be very concerning for me if you're a Denver fan. Because, Mike, as we know, he was so good. Murray was in that year when they get the title and the build-up before that, and with Jokic playing an MVP level. But Jokic, as fantastic as he is, and maybe he wins another MVP again this year, if you're not getting that type of play from Murray, and now they got Westbrook and they've got some other pieces and they're missing the pieces that help them get to and win the title, like KCP, the Nuggets certainly aren't a complete disappointment, but when you watch them, you're kind of going, that window was still supposed to be open for a while. I don't know if it's there the same way anymore.
We saw certainly the pieces getting put in place in Oklahoma City, and they got to walk the aisle a little bit last year, come playoff time. They got a taste of it. This is a really talented team, and you're so impressed with them every time they hit the court. Right now with the Nuggets the way they are, I'd really be surprised if the finals hit and OKC is not there.
Mike, I agree with you in the fact that Oklahoma City is on the track that they're on has to be one more time a credit to Sam Presti and the job that that front office has done. Now, saying that, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and I know the Thunder didn't have the type of game they wanted in that cup final last night, but Mike, that guy is unbelievable. I know he's not really a dynamic personality. I certainly know that the Thunder are not that team that you see on national TV and go, man, let me lock into this game. You know, I got to see what's happening here. But true basketball fans, when they saw that roster being built and they saw the addition of Caruso from last summer coming from Chicago over to OKC, and they saw Hardenstein from the Knicks, you kind of go, oh, okay. You know, all the pieces seem to be in place, not only for that run that you're talking about maybe into June this season, but for a while. But it all starts with Shai. He is the real deal. He's only gotten better. And I think, Mike, to your point about the Thunder, what you notice about them is that they play hard every night. And sadly, and you and I have been watching the league for a long time and doing this for a long time, that is just not the case for a lot of teams anymore.
For most teams, to be honest.
Yeah, most teams, yeah. I mean, if we're being real about it, it is most teams. I mean, anybody can turn on a game, and you can see instantly, all right, is everybody into it tonight? No? Okay. When you watch OKC, it's like they didn't get the memo that so many other teams in the league got. They want it every night, and I think that's a credit to their coach, Mark Dantagall, and the group that they have. Now, will things change if they do win? We'll see, because that obviously is a huge part of it. But they're hungry. They play tough on that defensive end of the floor. And with SGA, Mike, I think anything is possible with that team.
Man, if he could hit an outside shot good, you'd really have something. Man, because he's a terrific inside shooter. That's his forte of it, but my goodness. You think about, they just kind of tore that franchise down, rebuilt it, and they hit and hit and hit on all these picks, and you see the fruition of how well they drafted and was able to piece this team together. Nick, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Really appreciate it, buddy. Always great insights, and we thank you for joining us.
Mike, it's always great to be with y'all, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Nick Friedell, that's our Odyssey Sports NBA Insider. Remember to check out the variety of NBA Odyssey podcast wherever you get your content. When we come back, we'll have on with us Glenn West, senior writer for Go247, covering the LSU Tigers, and every day there's movement in the portal. We'll talk to Glenn, talk about them Tigers right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike to tell you along with Cullen Steele. We'll go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. We have on with a senior writer at Go247.com covering the LSU Tigers, Glenn West. Glenn, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Hey, Mike, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing real good. Man, listen, people always talk about getting a program during the season. Man, you need a damn program after the season to figure out who's on the roster and who's not. But, you know, the recent acquisition last night and the commitment from Nick Anderson, he was a guy, when I saw him throw his name in the transfer portal, I knew that was going to be a long line after him. For LSU to land him is a big get, because he gives them that big receiver, that tall receiver that can make that contested catch, and he got some speed. I mean, he can take the top off of coverage. Out of all the guys, along with bringing in Braden from Kentucky, man, your receiving core turned around real quickly with those two acquisitions.
Yeah, no question. And I think it really just goes to show you that, you know, the LSU's playing with the big boys this year in the transfer portal. They're going to get all the guys that they need to make this thing run in 2025. And I think it's just it's been a really solid start overall. You mentioned the start there with, you know, Nick Anderson and Berrien Brown kind of leading the way at receiver. I think those are two different types of players. You know, Anderson I could see is kind of that, you know, that red zone threat. He can be a vertical threat too. I mean, he was top five in the country a couple of years ago when he was healthy in yards per catch. And I think the biggest thing with him is, can they get him back healthy? Can they get a full season out of him? And if they do, I would imagine that he is one of, if not Garrett Nussmeier's biggest target next season. I think that was a massive, massive deal that they were able to get him. You know, him and Berrien Brown are both top 10 receivers in the portal on our service at 24/7 Sports. So clearly, when you talk about losing Kyren Lacy, when you talk about some of the guys that have entered the draft and in the portal, they needed to replenish that wide receiver room. And now between those two, you added Destin Hill from Florida State, a former Louisiana guy. They got about 11 receivers right now on this roster, and I think a lot of them are super, super duper fast. When you talk about Aaron Anderson and Chris Hilton and Xavion Thomas and you know, Jelani Watkins and Berrien Brown, you know, some of these guys, you know, they've really attacked speed, I think, at the receiver position, but they needed that big-time possession receiver, and they're going to get that with Nick Anderson. I think he's going to be a great target for Nussmeier. Biggest thing is you just got to keep him healthy next year.
Yeah, no question about it, because you saw his impact as a true freshman for the Sooners. I think they're bringing him in tomorrow, Sadir Mitchell, who mm-hmm. was at University of Texas. And put it to you this way, in a crowd, you can find him. I mean, he's all a 6 foot five and a half. They list him at 350. I want to get on that scale because I think he's a little above that scale point with Sadir. And he got recruited to Texas by Bo Davis. You got a fighting chance here to get a really big man known for his ability to stop the run and kind of forklift guys in the middle. He's never going to be a great pass rusher, but what he can do, be disruptive and open up the lanes for guys if you're going to blitz a linebacker to come right through. Your thoughts on Sadir and the chances of getting him? It certainly is a need position, and certainly he's got a big connection with your defensive line coach.
Yeah, no question. I think that's the big connection there between him and Bo Davis. You know, he's a guy that hasn't played a ton yet in his career, but someone who I know LSU, you know, as soon as he hopped in the portal, was in constant communication with. I believe he actually might have come in today to start his visit. Okay. So he's going to be here, I think, today and tomorrow. But he's somebody that, you know, absolutely just a space eater more than anything, somebody that I think you can plug and play, you know, 7, 10, 12 snaps in a game. And I still think, look, this defensive tackle room, when we were talking and we were having our conversations in the preseason, we were like, man, this is going to be a group that could very well struggle, and I think that they over exceeded expectations by a lot. And I think when you talk about Dominic McKinley coming back, Ahmad Bro, Jacobian Guillory, they just signed four freshmen in this 2025 class. You need a little bit more of a guy that's been through the college system a couple of times, and Sadir Mitchell fits that description, and I think he's going to be a guy that can come in and help contribute. I'm not sure he's a guy that's going to play 30, 40 snaps for you, but he can be a contributor. And it, you know, you lost obviously the guy from I'm blanking on his name right now, but he there was a defensive tackle that they had on the roster this year, JVR Suggs. He entered the transfer portal, and you're losing a couple interior guys to the draft, but the fact that they're, you know, they're replacing him with these freshmen, with Dominic McKinley and Ahmad Bro hopefully taking that year two leap. We were actually talking with Ahmad Bro yesterday or a couple days ago. He wants to get up to that 290, 300 range for next year. So they're really leaning into defensive tackle with Ahmad Bro. And so you bring in Sadir Mitchell with him. Obviously, you have Jacobian Guillory coming back next year, coming off the injury. So I think you're looking at a group that's eight or nine deep right now at defensive tackle if you're able to get Sadir Mitchell on board.
Crazy thing about Ahmad, he came to one of our camps. He was entering his senior year. His second number was a 3. Okay, he was 230 something. Now he's 290 something. Wow, that, I mean, that's a lot of weight to put on in a short period of time. Hopefully he can keep it on, because I know guys that young, the metabolism sort of burns it off real quickly. Mm-hmm. What's left for LSU in the transfer portal? I would think offensive line has got to be a spot. You got to find you another tight end. And I think safety position also.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head there with those three positions. I think probably offensive line and safety are the two that we're really keeping a close eye on here. I think offensive line-wise, there's a Virginia Tech center by the name of Braylon Moore. He's been on campus, and they've had him in for a visit. I think they're expecting things to go pretty smoothly with him. We're just waiting on an announcement, but he's somebody that I think LSU has a good shot at landing, could come in and play center for you. Maybe that kicks out a DJ Chester over to guard, and that might be a more smooth transition for him next year. So that would kill two birds with one stone if you're able to get a veteran like Moore, who's played a lot of football, has a really good pass blocking grade going back to his days at Virginia Tech. So get an interior lineman in there. At the safety spot, you know, they've dabbled in that safety room. They've been aggressive with a couple of the big names that have entered, but just haven't landed them. And I think they're at the point now where I think we're waiting for that second wave of portal entries. And by the second wave, I mean the guys that are still playing for, you know, national championships and guys that are in the, you know, college football playoff hunt right now that just haven't entered their name yet. I think those are conversations that LSU's having right now about maybe do we wait another week or two before we really put all of our chips in on a safety or two. But that is definitely a position that they have to address over the next couple weeks. And I would imagine that it happens sooner than later, but it just might take a little bit longer for that group to really get settled.
This is a question on a high school player with Brent Bordelon. And I know he's played tackle, and I know he can play guard, but do you think maybe the best spot for him would be center? That they move him to that center position? Man, he's a smart guy. He's real physical. Now, again, it goes to show how difficult it is to play that center position. DJ hadn't played it before, and man, did he struggle this year with it. Do you think eventually that might be the spot for Brent Bordelon?
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely could be. I mean, we've seen what his brother Bo has been able to do in terms of adapting, in terms of being asked to play different positions, tackle or guard. He's kind of very much a Swiss Army knife. I think Brett comes in with a little bit more just kind of oomph under his name. I think there's he runs about 6'5", 310. I mean, I reached out to him a couple weeks ago just to try to get some updated numbers on him, and he told me that he was up to 6'5", and he's about 312 pounds. So he's somebody that absolutely could play on the interior. Smart guy, picks things up quickly. That's what you kind of need at that center position, guys that can kind of help orchestrate an offensive line and kind of get everybody moving in one at one spot. So I think he absolutely could be a guy you look at center in the future. I'm not sure he's going to play, you know, right away as a true freshman, but the two cycles, these last two recruiting cycles, LSU has really hammered home the offensive line talent and bringing in a lot of guys because they knew they were going to be losing a lot from this year's roster. So hopefully you can get a couple of these guys developed and can be impact players for you next year, and then you kind of supplement the roster with a couple of these veteran offensive linemen you're bringing in from the transfer portal.
Glenn, I saw Bordelon recently. You know he's a Bayou boy, but he is all of 6'5", and he's 300 pounds. He's a big man at 18 years old. Glenn, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Always appreciate your time. Great insights, bud.
Yep, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All righty. Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com. Man, constant change, and you need the program to figure out who's on the roster and who's not. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number one of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike to tell you along with Cullen Steele. We come back, we'll have some talk about Kirk Cousins.
We got time now if you want to just highlight what happened.
He got the plug pulled on him, and Michael Penix is the starter for the rest of the way.
And rest of the way is the key part. Not just this week. Like, it's him.
The rest of the way.
It's him.
Unless an injury happens.
Yeah, obviously.
But, you know, this is what, and people behind the scenes will tell you, Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, That's why he wanted Michael Penix.
But
he knew somewhere along the line.
They still gave Cousins so much money.
They gave him a ton of money, but they wanted to win this year. Okay, offhand get no younger. He's in his 80s. We'll talk about that and a lot more right come back here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.